Live Radio Network. Eric Harley, Gary McNamara, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here, and that means it is Ask the Law for Monday, February 1st, 2010. I almost said 2009, guys. I did. Brought to you as a service of R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. Old Blue USA, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. By the way, all the comments and the questions that you hear, the information is up to date as of today, February 1st, 2010. Can change without notice. And we also want to let you know that comments made by anyone other than Trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. And we should also let you know that R.J. Taylor's done a great job with the website, or as people have. Not sure who's working it. And you can go to askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button and ask your questions anytime. Askthelaw.org. Just click on that big red button. It says email. Ask the law.
I am the law.
And good morning to everybody. Hello. Hello. Are you guys
good? Morning.
You
we're
okay?
All set to go.
Everybody
yep.
good?
We're all right. Ready
we're
to go.
Good? We're good. We're all good. Right. All right. Didn't hear you there for a second. I was just wondering. It's very silent. Very silent. Welcome to the show, everybody. Here we are, and we have something new to talk about. We will get to CSA 2010, Hours of Service, which the listening sessions are over. Did you get a chance to go to the one in the Dallas area?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I watch the webcast for the one out of Davenport, Iowa.
Yeah, I listened into that one for a little while. It's interesting. The questions that came up that the FMCSA posed, and we'll talk more about that and what's to be considered with hours of service here in just a minute. But let's talk about this this texting ban that came down last week. DOT Secretary Ray LaHood, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, steps up and says, okay, effective immediately, commercial motor vehicles, we're going to ban all texting while driving. There have been a lot of questions about the enforcement. First of all, you have some information about how the rule was implemented, and you were explaining that to me in our pre-show meeting. So explain to the folks here, as you did to me, what this means or how this was rolled out.
Normally, anytime FMCSA passes or rewrites a new rule, they have to go through what is called the rule process notification. This is what kind of got them in trouble in 2003, again in 2008, where they didn't follow their own protocol in getting rules properly posted.
Right.
Well, in this one, what they did was FMCSA issued an interpretation. I did not catch the interpretation that Secretary LaHood attached it to, but they issued an interpretation banning texting while the driver is operating a commercial motor vehicle. At a later date, they're going to go through and do the formal posting of a new rule, allow people time to comment. They'll close it. At that point, they'll review it, and then they're actually going to come out with a final rule that will actually have its own section number that's probably going to be put in Part 392.
All right. So he promised, and of course you can't speculate as to what they're going to do, but he promised that there will be more cell phone use restriction behind the wheel, and he promised that type of ruling by summer. Do you have any information that tells us that it's going to include cell phone or mobile device use as a whole?
Other than what he stated in the news conference,
yeah.
Like I say, right now the immediate ban that he wanted to get in was the actual texting, which that was what the interpretation addressed.
Right.
We'll just have to wait and see what all devices are included when they post the notice of proposed rulemaking.
Right. You know, all right, and this became a, there were so many questions that popped up out of this. I was getting a lot of emails. One driver said, okay, I use my cell phone for my GPS.
I use so I'm using it for navigation. I have another program on there, and I forget which one he was talking about. And I also listen to the program through there, so I'm listening to the radio, and so I've got it docked. My cell phone is docked. I don't know if it's an iPhone or he didn't specify, but so he's using it for multiple purposes, and I have to wonder in this case if he has it stationary, if that's going to be enforceable, or if that's going to be part of the rule itself, and the mobile devices that are being used, because we got information. Another study came out, and this is the second study that I've seen like this in as many years, that said it's not about the cell phone use. It's about the taking your mind off the road and being in a conversation while you're on the cell phone. So you could use hands-free device if you're distracted. That's still distracted driving, and that's what's leading to the accidents. That's a new study that came out. And so I'm wondering about the enforcement here on the if you're using your cell phone for, because I've used my cell phone for navigation. Is something like that going to be, if an officer pulls them over right now for texting, is it going to be specifically for using that device only for texting right now?
Well, first off, I think it's going to be incumbent upon law enforcement to prove that the driver was or was not texting. I don't know how that can be done without getting the phone company to release records.
Right.
For them to get those records, you've got to pretty much go get a warrant and get the information released from the cell phone company.
Because that was one of the questions that I had asked last week. Would this be a thing where it's like a breathalyzer test, where as a condition of the CDL, you agree to show your cell phone at any time?
Well, I think, they can ask, or let me see your phone. And, if it's something that's there where he can see it, mm-hmm. Okay, let me see it. Now then, whether or not does he know how to retrieve the data? Because I know the cell phone I have, it tells me exactly what time I sent a message, and it tells me what time I received the message.
Right, and we were getting a ton of emails about that specifically, about are they going to be, because if it's obviously not a primary offense, so they're not going to pull you over just simply for texting, but if the officer says, I think I saw you looking down, it looked like you were texting, is that good enough for them to write the citation at that point?
Well, I think here again we've got this fine line. One, you have to prove whether or not the individual was or was not texting.
Right.
Because right now the current ban is texting only. It doesn't say anything about a cell phone use. It just says texting. So it's going to rely on law enforcement to prove that the driver was texting. Now, obviously, if he's driving down the road and he's got the phone up there, and they can sit there and see him actually typing stuff in.
Right, right.
Obviously, that's a no-brainer there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's out of view and the driver happens to be looking down, what was he doing?
Right. And that's the big question that we got is how will they take the information that they have? Because if an officer thinks that they saw the officer or the driver looking and it appears they were texting, it's really hard to say for sure if they're mm-hmm. doing that. But if they appear to be doing that, then in my mind, the officer would be doing their job if they're enforcing a law that's on the books, a rule that's on the books. But again, you're going to have, if the driver is saying, no, it may look like I was looking down, but maybe he was just looking down at another device, mm-hmm. a Qualcomm or something else like that.
Right.
Because the reflection of the light coming from these mobile devices at night especially,
It's going to look like if you're looking down, it could look like you're texting.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that's where the question comes in. We'll talk more about this here in just a few minutes. Also, if you want to get on board, 800-288-9227. You got a question about hours of service. Maybe a comment about hours of service. Trooper Dial's not going to comment, but you can feel free to comment about the texting ban, hours of service, EOBRs. We're going to talk more about that. And CSA 2010 on Ask the Law, Public Service of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You know, they'll take your donation if you'd like to give them a few dollars and thank them for bringing this to you as a free service. Then they would welcome that. They are a nonprofit entity and certainly would welcome any donation. But go to the website, AskTheLaw.org. Back in just a moment. It is Ask the Law for Monday, February 1st. Get on board, 800-288-9227. It's the Midnight Radio Network, 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. All right, we are here with retired trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. Ask the Law for February 1st, 2010. All the answers and information are up to date as of today. Can change without notice. It's a public service of Old Blue USA. Go to askthelaw.org and click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law. You can do that anytime, in fact, and send your questions on, and they will get them back to you, those answers, as soon as possible. Let's go back to hours of service. This has been a real hot topic here on the show as of late. 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you have a question about hours of service for Trooper Dial, he'd be very happy to answer that. And also if about the current rule, of course, and if you have a comment about the proposed changes or the listening sessions or anything else on hours of service, EOBRs, texting ban, or anything else, 800-288-9227. You mentioned that you watched the webcast, part of the webcast of the Iowa event, the one in Davenport, Iowa.
Yes.
Did you notice anything? Was there a did there seem to be a trend going one certain way? I listened in for a little while, but it was just over an hour, and I don't feel like out of an 8-hour event, I don't feel like I really got the gist of it. But it's, I know that this time it seems like to me, and maybe it's just that I've been paying more attention, seems like to me that there are more people that are being active about commenting during these listening sessions from the industry. Was there plenty of comment during that 8-hour period, that at least the part that you saw?
Yes. There were a lot of drivers that actually made an appearance at the beginning. There were a lot of individuals that called in on the phone line. There were also management people from trucking companies,
right,
there, as well as association people that,
right,
were there.
Yeah.
As it kicked off, it was room was pretty crowded, and the further into the program you got, you could take and see the numbers in the room slowly dwindling down. I noticed that a lot of the special guest speakers, you might say, those being from the different trucking companies, those from the different associations, you know, they pretty much had them staggered where they would always have someone there,
right,
in case there was no truck drivers that personally showed up, or those that called in, and that pretty much kept those individuals going and coming throughout the day. But one of the things that I gathered from listening to it was most of the drivers, they liked the 11-hour driving.
Yeah.
They liked the 34 reset, and asked for a little flexibility or more flexibility in the 14-hour clock.
Yeah, and that's what I was seeing, in fact, from the other ones that I tuned into for on the other ones just a few minutes. But they were that was all the comments, and we saw that the ATA was supporting the same line of thinking.
Right.
Keep the 34-hour restart in place. Let's have some more flexibility and be able to stop that 14-hour clock if the driver wants to take a rest break during the day. To me, that's my opinion only, but I think that's really the way to go, is to put more of that flexibility back in and to leave that 11 hours there. What we're finding, though, is that a lot of drivers have told us, and it's anecdotal evidence, but they're telling us, look, I don't even use the full 11, but I know that it's there if I need to drive
right.
that 11.
Right.
I'm usually using 9.5 or 10 hours a day. We're going to talk more about hours of service. You got a comment? How do the current hours of service rule, how does the current hours of service rule work for you? Is it working well? Would you like to see it changed? Your opinions are welcome. It's Ask the Law. Get on board now
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
We want to remind you that all the information that you hear on the program, the answers are up to date as of February 1st, 2010, can change without notice. And Ask the Law is brought to you as a service of R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. Old Blue USA. Go to askthelaw.org anytime and ask your hours of service or regulatory questions. If you've got one right now, we want to take it from you. 800-288-9227. Trooper Dial will answer a question. Maybe somebody there at your terminal has been telling you one thing, and you're saying, no, I think the hours of service is this. No, I think it's this. All right. Call us, 800-288-9227. Also, if you have a comment on hours of service, because they're about to change, it's going to happen. The listening sessions are over. And
over? Over.
And if you want to maybe treat this as a listening session, maybe you want to just sound off and tell us how is the hours of service rule that's in place right now, which is the 2005 rule, how is that working for you? Do you like that? Would you like to see more flexibility? Would you like to see the 14-hour clock stop if you were to take a rest break during the day? Your thoughts. How should it work for the industry? 800-288-9227. And again, your questions. 800-288-9227. Let's get to the phones right now, in fact.
Let's go to Gary. Gary, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hello, Gary.
Hey.
I'm concerned about your presumption about the enforcement difficulties of cell phone use on while you're driving.
I don't think it's a presumption as much as it is a question, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, you're concerned. I mean, you're talking about the difficulty enforcing. How do you know if the driver's talking on a cell phone or whether he's texting or whatever?
Right.
And then, you know, and go right on to cite the California study that presumes that, and conclude that since the passage of the law hasn't changed the accident, that the law is being enforced effectively.
Right. That's what we said.
Well,
and in fact, I mentioned that while I was talking about that news story. I said, with time, we might see something change here.
Well, you know, you're wondering how the law could be enforced. When you're driving, it's presumed that you're not distracted.
Right.
Therefore, you don't have the presumption of privacy when you're driving on the road, because it's the prevailing presumption is that you're not distracted.
Right.
So if you're distracted, then you don't have privacy. And so enforcement, it could be very simple. I mean, these cell phones could be programmed, you know, and not to work while you're driving if the phone was in motion.
Right. Well, they can decide to do that.
Or the enforcement could be very simple. Simply, a digital eavesdropping that tells the troopers where the cell phone is being
happen. That will never happen in the United States. Now, what you might see is someone who would propose a rule that would say, and go ahead.
If I'm at home, mm-hmm. if I'm not moving,
mm-hmm.
and if I call a cell phone number, I got no way to know if that driver is driving.
Right.
Sure. And the first thing I ask, are you driving?
Mm-hmm.
If they're driving, I hang up.
That's a good practice.
I do not want to, I want to minimize the exposure of causing somebody to have an accident, because I know how distracting conversation is.
Oh, absolutely.
If you have any doubts, if anybody has any doubts how distracting conversation is, if you find a person that can carry on two conversations at once,
mm-hmm. they're either a radio producer or somebody that is has one of these brains
well,
that works.
But it's interesting because as they found out, it's not specifically talking on the phone.
No.
It's the fact that you're talking in general, that your mind is on
right.
Something else besides your driving. And you and I have talked about this, and I really, I don't pick up the. I can't tell you the last time. I don't remember the last time I actually was talking on my phone in my vehicle because, and I'll think about it all the time. I'll think, well, let me go. I go, nope, it's only 5 miles home. Do it later. Just
right.
Don't take the chance.
Well, and Trooper Dial, and to the caller, Gary, Trooper Dial did talk about how we would have a proposed rulemaking that will come out, and hopefully we'll properly vet some of these rules surrounding cell phones and mobile devices, because that's the whole idea. Is let's properly vet these ideas to say, all right, this isn't going to happen, this isn't going to happen, or this is how we would enforce that, and how feasible is it to enforce that. You get into saying, well, maybe there could be a rule where they could do some kind of digital eavesdropping. That's not going to happen. Where they could do a rule that says, all right, inside a vehicle, you could immobilize any electronic device, like a cell phone, that's already been talked about, in fact. We'll see if that happens, because there would be two ways for that to happen. First of all, in order to make it effective, you're going to have the electronic companies, the cell phone providers, they would have to cooperate, or you would have to create another aftermarket device that would have to be installed in all vehicles in order to make that effective, so that would shut down the cell phones while the vehicle was in drive, which could come from the OEMs. The OEMs could make that a part of their vehicles starting on a certain year model. All of these are just ideas, and again, we were just questioning, not really speculating, but certainly wondering. 800-288-9227.
Let's go to John in Oklahoma. John, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome, John.
Yes, kind of straying off the subject, but I had a question. Can you smoke in a hazmat vehicle or pulling gas and all, or is that against the law when you're inside the truck?
That's a good question.
No, you cannot smoke, carry a lit pipe or cigar in, on, or within 25 feet of a vehicle carrying hazardous materials. You're going to find that in part 397.
Is that all hazmat materials?
No, it's
okay,
flammable hazmat,
right?
Flammable, explosives, you know, some of the stuff that really goes kaboom.
Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. Well, John, I have to question here. I don't know why anyone would even want to take that risk.
It's just an old habit.
Yeah. Well, maybe let's look on the bright side. Let's look at that. The tank is half full, not half empty here, and that maybe it will help you quit if you know that you can't. It's against the law,
right.
And it's dangerous. It's against the law for a reason, but certainly dangerous.
Yeah, it's class 1, class 5, or flammable materials classified as a 2.1, a 3, a 4.1, or a 4.2.
Okay.
Yeah, so... 25 feet, John. That's what you got.
All right.
All right. Move out about 20, 30 paces to be good, all right?
All right.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. 800-288-9227. Look, I've always said that if I were a driver, first of all, everybody would have to get off the road. But second of all, I could never haul hazmat. Our friend Roger from Iowa hauls this stuff, this herbicide, you know, and then these guys that haul fuel and everything else, really flammable stuff. I would be sweating bullets all the time. The last thing I'd want to do is light up a cigarette. All right, John. Maybe it'll help you quit. Chew on a toothpick. Get you some of those cinnamon toothpicks.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll help you. 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law with Trooper Monty Dial. We're going to talk more on hours of service. You got a comment about hours of service? How is the hours of service rule working for you? What would you like to see changed? We'll take your comment and your questions, too. You got a question like John had? That was a good question. I didn't know that. I assumed that you had to have some separation between you and that truck. but I didn't know exactly what it was. 25 feet. See, you learn something if you listen to Ask the Law. Keep listening. We're back in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara with Eric Hartley.
800-288-9227 if you want to get on board. You have a question or a comment on hours of service. Let's get back to the phones. 800-288-9227. By the way, all the information is up to date as of today, February 1st, 2010. Can change without notice. All the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get back to your phones at 800-288-9227.
Let's talk to Lee in Detroit. Lee, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network and you're on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome. Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Well, I got a couple comments, and then I'm going to make my point.
All right.
The first comment, when they implemented the seatbelt law, they also said that in the beginning of that, oh, we can't pull you over just for not having your seatbelt on. Well, look at lo and behold what they did. As soon as they don't see a seatbelt, now you get a ticket. So as far as the texting, now, okay, now you have an officer next to you. Now he's looking over at you, but you're looking down. And now he's not having his eyes on the road, and that's it's crazy.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead and make your point, please.
Okay, my point being is I just think it's just another grab to have another supposedly suspicious behavior to pull you over and see what else is going on inside your private property.
Yeah. Well, thank you. We do appreciate your comments. What I'll say about the texting ban, the cell phone ban, and everything else is that the states and municipalities are already making their own rules. So really, the federal rule, I think, is going to kind of seem like a moot point eventually, not right now, but a federal rule, of course, is specifically targeting, or this one specifically targets commercial motor vehicles. So if you drive a bus, if you drive any commercial motor vehicle, then you are affected by this texting ban. But you can bet that those texting bans will become more widespread and will be localized if they haven't been already. In fact, we do know, Trooper Dial, that there have been plenty of local bans on texting and cell phone use in Texas, in fact, statewide now. In school zones, you cannot use a cell phone.
And there are some states, too, that once Secretary LaHood came out with the presented the study,
right,
and that FMCSA or the U.S. Department of Transportation was coming out with a ban on texting.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is there are some states that were currently in session or were fixing to go in session,
right,
this year that they've had state local laws introduced to ban texting in their own, in their state.
Yeah, yeah. So again, that's something that will be rolled out on the local level. It won't be just a federal rule, but this federal rule was to essentially blanket all zones of the United States for commercial motor vehicles right away. So that's how it is effective. You mentioned a comment during the break that I think is worthy of repeating. We need to let drivers know that right now they can still go to the FMCSA website, fmcsa.dot.gov,
yes,
and comment on hours of service.
Yes,
I kind of alluded to the point with a question about what did you see as far as participation was concerned on the Davenport listening session. My question came because I was disappointed over the last couple of times we've had a proposed rulemaking on hours of service of the lack of participation by drivers, individual drivers. The comments, there were only a few hundred comments on the FMCSA website on the 2005 rule, and to me, that's absolutely nothing. That's a drop in the bucket.
Right.
So drivers need to get involved, and they can still go to the website.
Yes. And I had somebody else call me the other day and was asking me some general questions about it. And I told him, I said, look, let me give you a little history lesson here. One,
right,
here's how FMCSA or any federal agency adopts rules.
Right.
They sit down, they write what's called a notice of proposed rulemaking.
Mm-hmm.
They publish it.
They have a commenting period.
Right.
They will seek comments from anyone.
Right.
That has
a concern with that.
That has a concern, whether you like it, you dislike it,
okay,
or whatever.
I want to talk more about that after the break. Stand by. More Ask the Law is on the way.
On the Midnight Radio Network.